Isla in Arizona, and that's where Kovac is coming from. So the more people resist, the more of an effect that they have on what ends up happening. And SB 1070 was totally gutted by the judiciary. This is not to say, like, everybody fall back on the judiciary, but to continue to struggle, because the more that we struggle, the more the authoritarianism breaks down, and the more the cracks appear, the more unstable the regime is. So I'm not one of these people who says that if we take down Trump, then we end up with Pence, who's going to be worse. I want to take down Trump. I want to take down Pence. You know, I agree with the Argentinian slogan, que se vayan todos, kick them all out. This is a repulsive regime. It's anti-democratic, and the people need to stand up for what we want instead of what we're given.
He is Alexander Reed Ross, and his book is Against the Fascist Creep. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Supporting human conditions, not free market propaganda and corrupt politicians, cause they own by special interest groups that fund their campaign. It's why you hear the same old things they claim, but change never came. It's a dirty game maintained by rain for capital gain.
You've been listening to the Project Censored show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Nolan Higdon with Nicholas Bayam III. Mickey Huff and Peter Phillips are executive producers and hosts. Michael Levitin, our senior correspondent. Our interns are Alicia Eduardo and Desiree McSwain. Anthony Fess is our producer. Erica Bridgman, our engineer. The Project Censored show airs on nearly 40 stations around the U.S. Please follow us and like us on Facebook and visit our website online at projectcensored.org, where you can find the archives of all our radio shows for the past 6 years, as well as 40 years of news that didn't make the news. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
The people together can overthrow the system. We got the love, uplift our brothers and our sisters. The people organized can build the kind of future we want.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
In Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, March 1st, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your Antifa fabulous radio. 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. First, a little weather for those of us under a roof. Those of us who experience houselessness would be the experts on weather. Showers likely today, and a high around 48. Is just a bit, will be a bit cold and a bit watery. For tonight, it's 50-50 as far as rain's concerned, and we've got a low around 40. For tomorrow, chance of rain, highs near 48, and tomorrow night rain is likely, with a low around 42. That said, we're trying to get James Carden on the line right now. Our guest today is executive editor of the American Committee for East-West Accord. Don't let the name put you off. It may not be a hemp short acronym of some kind, but it's nonetheless where to go for articles and essays that are of concern to people who are watching this drama unfold. Trump, although somewhat more, was more frightening buttoned down than he is when he is completely unplugged. It was a remarkable speech, a remarkable bit of agitprop, I guess you could call it. Pretty much everything the man stumbled, every word that he stumbled through would be cause for concern in ordinary times, and we don't live in ordinary times. We live in extremely abnormal, extremely, I guess you'd say, pathological times. The idea that many people have expressed that we give Donald Trump a chance because, of course, he just got the job. No! He's the president. You don't give him a chance. This is not a job at McDonald's where you get 3 months to see if you can handle it. This is the presidency. The president is supposed to come in knowing how to do the job. It is not enough spout. I can't even call it rhetoric. Spout political notions that have been handed to him on a plate by the likes of Steve Bannon. No. You're supposed to know the president is supposed to come in knowing the job. You don't give them a chance to see if they could do it. How long is that? That's the most extraordinary idea I've ever heard, and a truly frightening one. You don't elect a president because they're just like you. You elect a president because there's something a bit more. Well, we didn't, and now here's what we've got. And it is our responsibility to deal with it. We are very fortunate today to be joined by James Carden. As we just mentioned before, this is Carden is the executive editor of the American Committee for East-West Accord. Those listening and sitting in front of a computer probably Google that and know exactly what an extraordinary extraordinarily useful and smart publication online that this is. So good morning, James. I want to thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And those listeners who take a look at The Nation have probably read one of James' recent pieces, the hashtag resistance in Russia, and McCain talks tough as the war in Ukraine continues without end. What I found so extraordinary is the idea that John McCain and Lindsey Graham announced to in front of the powerful parties in Ukraine that they were going to give them everything they needed to win. How on earth can McCain say that? What's he going to send? What's he sending them? How could he be? Is he in charge of military?
Right.
The hardware. I don't understand how he could make that claim.
Well, that's something of a McCain specialty, especially with regard to the conflict in Ukraine. I think maybe if we go back in time a little bit, it might be worth reminding your listeners that before the Maidan Revolution took place in Ukraine in February of 2014, John McCain and Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut traveled to Kiev to urge on the protests in December of 2013. So McCain has had a direct hand in what has unfolded in Ukraine over the past 3 years. And it is, as you say, quite extraordinary that McCain would then, 3 years later, December of 2016, right after the election and right before the inauguration, he traveled once again to Ukraine, this time in the company of Lindsey Graham and Amy Klobuchar, a Democrat from Minnesota, to urge Kiev to continue the war there, even though there has been a ceasefire agreement in place for the past 2 years. Lindsey Graham told the Ukrainian soldiers that he believes that 2017 will be the year, in his words, quote unquote, the year of offense. So it's kind of extraordinary to have United States senators traveling to a foreign civil war to egg on the violence when there's already a ceasefire agreement in place. I think personally it's rather outrageous.
I was just absolutely floored when I read of this. How does this fit in with the surge in neo-McCarthyite action talk that is surging through Washington, D.C., sloshing over into the rest of the country to continue torturing a metaphor, since it's the year of offense? I might as well have at it with the metaphors. But there is, without doubt, a neo-McCarthyite witch hunts on. How does this fit in with Russia and the role that it is being dressed up?
Right.
It's all of
a piece. The uptick in neo-McCarthyite rhetoric really coincided with the beginning of the Ukraine crisis. So 3 years ago, when a few of us, like myself and Professor Stephen F. Cohen, also at The Nation magazine, formerly of Princeton University, began speaking out against U.S. involvement in that war, we suffered a barrage of ad hominem attacks on our character and on our qualifications. And with the campaign and then the subsequent election of Trump, which is really quite distressing, is that Democrats and many on the left have really bought into this McCarthyite hysteria that that Trump is some sort of Manchurian candidate, and that he is a pawn of the Kremlin, and that anyone who objects to this line of thinking is immediately cast under suspicion. Now, I didn't vote. Let me be very clear. I didn't vote for Mr. Trump, and I think that there are many legitimate grounds to oppose him and to be alarmed by his administration. But the Russia stuff is not one of those things. In fact, his promise to improve relations with Russia is actually a very sensible thing. In fact, it might be one of the only sensible things that he's pushing. But unfortunately, as you say, Washington is in the grip of a sort of neo-McCarthyite hysteria. I think it's very dangerous.
It seems that, of course, it fits in with it's all a piece with a general openness to hysteria that the nation seems to have espoused lately, where we're so accustomed to communicating in terms of fear that this is just another addition to the vocabulary. I wonder, though, about moving into Trump's first year, how Trump plans to go about establishing better relations with Russia. Will this be through, he has business dealings, and of course many of his associates and his appointees have been deeply involved in business with Russia. So How is does Trump plan to manage the improvement of U.S.-Russian relations, business or pleasure?
Well, I don't think it's by any means clear whether or not he's going to be able to actually pull off an improvement of relations between the two countries, because you get so many cross signals from the people that he's appointed. So on the one hand, you have Rex Tillerson, who, as you noted, is one of the appointees who has had extensive dealings with Russia, which is normal given the fact that he was the head of ExxonMobil, and Russia is one of the primary sources of natural gas and oil on the globe. On the other hand, other appointees have basically mimicked the hardline stance of the Obama administration and of the Kerry and Clinton State Department. So the working assumption in Washington that Trump will be able to pull off a sort of detente, which is much needed, it seems to me open to question as well.
Trump's a very unlikely candidate for the job. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. All the time that we have, my guest has been James Carden, executive director at a wonderful publication, I must say. The American Committee for East-West Accord.
The website is eastwestaccord.com for anyone who's interested.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And just one quick note. There's been...